welcome to Not For The
Dinner Table.
It's episode 47, Dave.
47?
That's quite a lot, isn't it?
I know, we're nearly at 50.
That's, should we have a little celebration at 50?
Yeah.
We should. Anyway, episode 47, how's your week been?
My week has been okay.
Have you been very busy?
Yeah, I've had a lot of going on at work because everything's back, sort of everyone's going back.
Yeah.
And had family round and just getting on with the house.
Oh, yeah.
Been watching The Vicar of Dibley, which
bloody
makes me feel like I can't wait to do villagey things and I can't wait
well,
for Christmas.
Well, there's nothing going on in the village at the minute.
No, it's all fucking shit.
It's all shit.
Cheers. Cheers. How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been good.
Dave's had a bit of a day today.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like every time we have a podcast, I'm like, yeah, it's been really great. But it hasn't.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm just going through some stuff at the moment.
Yeah, listeners, you need to send Sophie all of the nice positive vibes and messages. Because she's had a day.
I've had a right day today.
You have, but yeah. We're here. We're
back. We are recording.
We're recording.
It's exciting. I'm excited about it. I'm at home. I've got a house. I've got a lovely life. I live in a village, which is lovely most of the time. And I love it.
Yeah.
So nothing to complain about.
Good.
Get your positive pants on.
Positive pants.
Yes.
And Ernie started school.
He has.
How lovely.
And he loves it.
Yes.
So good. But I'm a little concerned he's going to be the naughty child. That's my only concern. But I'm sure he's fine. I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah.
Just wait until parents' evening for that little bombshell.
Yeah. You know it's bad if they, like, bring you in before parents' evening.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Can we just have a quick word?
Yeah. No. No, you can't.
Not right now.
No, not now.
Not right.
But, Dave, what are we talking about?
Well, before we delve in, have we got any news?
No.
I've got a bit of news.
I love that. Tell me all the news.
Shall we sing the
apart
jingle?
Apart from the world's going crazy.
Well, actually, listeners, we just hope that you're staying safe during this time, actually, because...
Please stay safe.
You know, it's September, it'll be the end of the September when this... Well, it'll be Friday when... Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
It will be some kind of day in September when this is released. We're actually recording this on 21st day, September.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, Earth, Wind & Fire. So we hope everyone's safe and well. And, you know, it's really uncertain times at the moment, both here and across the world. We don't know whether we're going to be going into another kind of lockdown scenario.
Yeah.
So...
Can I tell you something else that I saw today, which made me shit my pants even more about all this, like, craziness that's going on in the world?
Mm.
A Chinook flew over when I was picking the boys up. Like, really low. Like, you know, like, in crazy apocalyptic...
Times.
Movies, when they fly really low because they're, like, assessing whether anyone's still alive or whatever. It was doing that, and I was like, oh, my Jesus Christ.
Well, what was that about that Rob sent us today in the group chat?
Oh, no.
Be prepared. Make sure you've got your prepared bag, and that came from the NHS.
Yeah, so our friend of the show, Rob, sent us on our little
panicky
group chat.
Panicky Rob.
Panicky Rob,
As he is henceforth known.
Sent us a little, what was it, a link?
A link to a tweet that's since been taken down by NHS Southwest England. Where they are advising individuals to have a grab bag, so that in case of, like, emergencies, mass evacuations, that you have some essentials with you that you can take. Now, this is in coming off the back of sort of years and years of like people making fun of people that are like preppers and prepared for that sort of stuff. So it's just really strange.
Yeah.
You know, are we going to be getting some more extreme weather? Is there an asteroid on the way?
Yeah. So also Sunday morning, scrolling through the newspapers on my phone and literally one after the other, two separate headlines, one from the Sun, both from very reputable sources, obviously. One from the Sun saying there is going to be an 800 mile wide snowstorm coming. And then literally the, I think it might have been the Independent had then launched a story saying it's going to be like the hottest Christmas ever. It was really weird. And I was reading it to Andy and he was like, what the fuck? Why are people saying this? And I was like, I don't know. Because one is saying it's going to be fucking freezing and the other one's saying it's going to be like, you know, 24 degrees.
Is it wrong that I kind of want the 800 mile long snowstorm?
Yeah. No, it's not wrong. I want it too. But that's because you've just moved here and you know, like, you can get snowed in. We can go sledging. When the food and the booze runs out, then we'll cry.
Yeah, then we'll riot.
Then we'll riot. We'll put into place the apocalyptic adventure, snowstorm edition.
Snowstorm. Yeah, that when you've got through the alien one, when maybe we'll go back and do an apocalyptic frozen wasteland edition.
Yes. I'd love that.
Yes.
Let's do it. Right, let's go on with the real news. We haven't even sung the jingle.
No news is good news, but some news might be nice news. Not for the dinner table. News! Well, Sophie, not so much a news story.
Right.
As a question for you.
Oh.
Regarding a haunting in Little Dean.
What?
Yes. It's been brought to my attention and I wondered whether you knew where it was.
Okay.
And then whether we could go and investigate.
Well, tell me more.
So, a row of cottages once named Ship's Yard Row can be found in Little Dean. Do you know where that is?
No.
Do you think your dad would know?
Yes.
They look onto a lane where a pair of impressively dressed ghosts are seen to swagger from time to time.
Wow.
The splendid spectral figures are said to be Royalist Cavalier soldiers who were killed in a scuffle with parliamentarians during the Civil War.
Ooh.
Yeah, so we need to find out where Ship's Yard Row is.
Oh.
And go and investigate.
Let's do it. I bet it's Silver Street.
Do you think at the top?
There was a skirmish. Love a skirmish. Yeah. Up at Dean Hall. And that's where...
I bet it's there.
So it's probably around there somewhere. But yeah, we'll definitely check that out.
Yeah.
Love it.
So we'll get back to you listeners on that one.
Ship's Yard Row.
Ship's Yard Row.
Love it.
I know. So my next bit of news did the rounds at the beginning of September, but it's so weird that I thought we'd share it in case any of our listeners hadn't heard about it.
Come on then.
Reported in the BBC, there's a conspiracy theory going around that Banksy is Neil Buchanan from
Art
Attack.
I love this. I loved it. I want him to be Banksy.
I really want him to be Banksy. Like, so much.
I want him to do the Paxo salt one again. You know when he had all the salt things and he was making a salt art attack?
Because he used to do, like, massive giant architects.
Yeah.
Architects. Art attacks.
Yeah.
That were amazing, weren't they? Like, he's a really talented artist.
He really is.
So, a social media rumour suggested that Banksy was, in fact, Neil Buchanan. For listeners who don't know who Neil is, he was a host of a kids' TV show from 1990 until 2007. Can you believe it?
Wow!
That's like 17 years.
I loved Art Attack, though. Yeah.
No, that's Blind Date. I nearly did. I was like, did it, did
it, no. What's the Art Attack? What the Art Attack one was.
I can't say Art Attack.
No, you can't. You keep saying Arc Attack.
So, the show used to do loads of different art styles, including large-scale artworks like the zoo scene made from sacks of vegetables. The post went viral to the point where Neil had to post an official statement to his website stating that he isn't Banksy.
I absolutely love that he's got his own official website.
He doth protest too much, perhaps.
Yes, I think so.
Neil's website was inundated with inquiries over the weekend. The theory sprung to life when one social media user claimed that multiple Banksy artworks had sprung up where Buchanan's former band, Marseille, had played gigs. I didn't even know he was in a band.
Yeah.
So, yeah, is Neil Buchanan Banksy?
Yes.
Yes. You heard it here first, guys.
Yes,
so not
he
for
is.
The dinner table exclusive. We are saying yes.
I'm definitely saying yes.
And that news ditty comes courtesy of BBC News.
Fabulous. Well done, BBC. The Beeb.
And also, I just want to give a huge, huge, huge thank you to the listeners because episode 46, part 2 of Sophie's Apocalyptic Adventure is one of the most downloaded episodes in such a short space of time that we've had. It is, I cannot believe how many downloads we've had.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to it. We hope that you enjoyed it. And part 3 might be put on hold dependent on what happens with lockdown measures. But we will try and get part 3 to you at the beginning of the new year. So you won't have to wait too long to find out what happens to Gina, Sophie, me and the newly freed Matt.
Oh, well done, Matt.
In the apocalyptic
world.
Rob
and Andy are raging that we've left them behind. I mean, like,
how's
so
Amy?
Angry.
How does Amy feel?
Well, she doesn't listen anyway, so...
She doesn't even know she's been
she
left.
She hasn't got a fucking clue.
She doesn't know
clue.
About her shit cooking. She doesn't know she's been left.
She hasn't got a clue.
And also, unfortunately, with lockdown, it is probably going to change our anniversary episode this year.
Oh, I know.
So we had planned to do another sort of gathering spectacular.
Little party.
But we are going to go back to the drawing board on what our celebration episode will look like this year. But do not worry, listeners, there will be an episode. So, Sophie.
Yes, Dave.
A few episodes ago, we went on an adventure into medieval true crime.
Oh.
And investigated the myth, the legend, Robin Hood.
Yes, Robin.
We both spoke about the majestic Sherwood Forest,
which
got us to thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Surely there must be many tales of strange and spooky goings on in the forests of the world.
Yes.
So with that in mind, and for this episode, we're putting on our backpacks, we're lacing up our walking boots,
and
grabbing a fallen branch as a walking stick as we venture into some haunted forests.
Excellent, Dave.
Sophie, what are you talking about?
So, Dave. I decided not to go with my Forest of Dean, my beloved homestead,
well,
the Forest of Dean.
Okay.
Because you kept ripping the piss. So, I've gone with Cannock Chase Forest.
Oh. So where is Cannock Chase?
Cannock Chase is a mixed area of countryside in the county of Staffordshire in England, locally known as The Chase.
Oh.
Okay? It's an area of outstanding natural beauty and is a former royal forest. It holds a myriad of weird and wonderful claims by locals.
A myriad.
A myriad.
Great word.
Sightings of black dogs.
Yes.
Werewolves, big cats, UFOs, black-eyed children, and even Bigfoot.
I didn't even know that we had a UK Bigfoot.
Well, neither did I, and that is not the angle I've explored, so maybe we'll go back to that one day.
Well, we'll do a Bigfoot episode. Bigfoot of the world.
Yes!
Can I ask one question that you might not know the answer to, but I feel like we might need to come back to it, because I feel it's something that we need to know. How does one lose Royal Forest status?
Well, I don't know, because the Forest of Dean used to be the Royal Forest of Dean.
And is it not anymore?
No. It's just the Forest of Dean.
Oh.
Which obviously I'm furious about. No, I'm not really.
I mean, I am.
I just think it's nice to be a royal forest.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know whether there are any royal forests left or whether maybe there used to be royal forests and now they just don't do that anymore. And they've gone like, no, actually.
Yeah, the Queen was like, I just don't want them anymore.
Yeah, I just stop calling them royal.
Yeah. She woke up and she was just in a really bad mood.
Yeah.
And someone was like, oh, Mom, would one like to go for a walk around one of the royal forests? And she's like, I don't want any royal forests anymore.
She's like, that's it. I've had enough of people calling these forests royal. I am the only royal.
That's exactly how it happened. We don't even need to investigate. The speculation of which we have illuminated on the subject is more than enough.
Mm. Right, so it also has another claim to fame as a hotspot for dogging. When in 2004, Stan Collymore was revealed to have regularly used a car park in the Chase.
Oh, Stan Collymore. Listeners, Stan Collymore was a football player.
Yes, he was.
Quite a famous football player.
Yeah.
Or soccer. For our American listeners.
So, we're not going to look into that, though.
No, this is not the dogging episode.
This is a story about the Chase, which includes true crime.
Yes.
With resulting possible ghosts / black-eyed children.
No, thank you. I'm ready for it.
I mean, it's horrible. It is horrible. But
is it listener discretion advised?
Is it what, sorry?
Is listener discretion advised?
Absolutely. No, I wouldn't have your nearest and dearest children around listening to this because it's quite nasty. Right. Legend has it that the black-eyed children of Cannock Chase are the tortured souls of three little girls murdered in the 1960s.
Oh, my God.
This is horrible. By the monster Raymond Leslie Morris. Have you ever heard of him, Dave?
No.
No, see, I hadn't heard of this and I hadn't heard of, like, the forest or anything, but I'm going to tell you all about it right now. In 1964, there was a wave of attempted abductions and attacks on young girls in the surrounding towns of Cannock Chase. First, Julia Taylor, who was 8, disappeared as she walked home from a birthday party at 9 p.m. on December 1st. I mean, she was 8.
But it was a different time, wasn't it? Doors were unlocked, kids were out until...
It really
what
was.
Do we know what the date, sorry, did you say?
The 1st of December, 1964.
Well, that would have been dark as well.
And cold.
I mean, if it would have been summer, I could have understood, because it would have been light at 9 o'clock, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, bad parents.
Yeah. She was... She was found in the grass on the side of a road. She had been sexually assaulted and choked. But thankfully, possibly, had survived. She had survived. So
she was alive.
She was alive. So when poor little Julia could talk, she told the police a man saying he was Uncle Len was driving to her aunt's house to get Christmas presents. And she unfortunately got in the car. And he took her to the woods and attacked her.
Oh, God.
A huge investigation was launched, but Uncle Len was still at large. On September the 8th, 1965, so we're almost a year on here, Margaret Reynolds, who was 6, set out for school and never made it. She was still missing on December the 30th when Diane Joy Tiff vanished whilst playing outside her grandma's house. 2 weeks later, a hiker spotted what he thought looked like a doll in a muddy ditch in Cannock Chase.
Oh, no.
It was poor little Diane's body. Police then found Margaret's remains submerged in the silt underneath Diane's body. Pathologists said she was sexually assaulted and suffocated. Margaret's remains were too far decomposed to tell how she died.
Oh.
It's horrendous. Oh, that's it's just really horrible.
Awful.
The last victim was Christine Ann Darby, who was 7. I mean, these girls are little.
Yeah, they are little.
Walking with 2 friends when a man pulled up and asked her to get in. And unfortunately, she did. Her body was found just a couple of days later, just 1 mile from where the other bodies were found. Another massive manhunt was mounted, but to no avail. Until the 4th of November 1968. That day, he tried to snatch Margaret Alton, who was 10. Fortunately, Wendy Lane, who is like the saviour, who was 19, saw Morris trying to pull Margaret into the car. She called out and he let her go, but good old Wendy memorised the car number plates, make and colour.
Go on, Wendy.
Go on, Wendy. They tracked down Raymond Leslie Morris, who was 39.
Bastard.
He had a good job, a pretty wife, who was called Carol, who was 14 years younger than him.
Oh, but, like, poor Carol. I bet she didn't even know.
Well, no, she didn't. They had a good reputation, and everyone who knew him said he was a nice guy. So, like, we've just watched Des. Have you watched that yet?
No, oh, but everybody's sort of raving about
you
it.
Should watch
I just
it.
Don't like David Tennant massively.
But, I mean, it is really good.
Yeah.
It is good. So that, like, description of him is, like, what Des is like. So he had been interviewed 4 times during this ongoing police investigation.
So he'd been on the radar.
So he was on the radar, but it was never arrested. His wife gave him false alibis. She probably would have been told to by him, yeah, definitely. But she only did that until the police showed her pornographic photos they'd found at their house of a sexually assaulted child. And that child was Carol's 5-year-old niece.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
After that, Carol testified against her husband.
Yeah, I bet she was raging.
I bet she was.
Oh, I'd have cut his balls off.
Yeah, and me. I'd have fucking killed him.
Yeah.
I would have. Like, hands down, dead.
Mm-hmm.
He was tried and found guilty and sentenced to jail for life.
Good.
Scumbag. Since the poor girls were murdered, there have been countless sightings of little girls with black eyes in the chase.
Oh.
After the 1980s, though, they seemed to abandon the chase, but soon after Morris died in 2014, there was a resurgence in the children's activities. Someone insisted they'd even caught them on film, and there's actually photographs of, like, black-eyed children in the woods, which I will show you later on, and I will post on our Instagram. One man said a child with black eyes chased him and threw a rock at him, yelling, "We're watching you." I say, whoever these little black-eyed children are, I hope they find peace, and I also hope they haunted the shit out of Morris while he was in jail and then returned to the chase after he died. And that's why there was a resurgence.
Yeah.
Because they've come back after haunting the fuck out of him in prison. He died in prison at the age of 84.
Vile.
Oh, it's just gross.
Just a horrible, horrible, horrible human. And those poor girls.
Yeah.
Those poor, poor girls. Because, you know, if an adult comes up to you when you're that age and tells you to do something, you do
it. You're so trusting, aren't you?
Yeah. Because you, like, okay, you see them as people of authority. Yeah. Oh, God. Awful. Well, I hope they have found peace in Cannock Chase if they're still
Me
there.
Too.
I hope they are protectors of the forest.
Me too. I think they are. And I think that's why they were like missing for that like
little section of time. Yeah,
I think they'd just gone to like make his life absolute hell in prison.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope he didn't sleep a wink.
He better not have.
Fucking bad. And I hope he got the shit beaten out of him in prison all the time.
Yeah. I think he would have. So, lift us up, Dave, and make us feel better. Now I've brought us all to a low.
Well, I've decided to go further afield.
Okay.
I'm going across the pond to California and a place called Elfin Forest.
Ooh.
Also known as Quest Haven.
Lovely.
Which in itself fills me with mythical adventure.
I love it. Sounds wonderful.
So, this forest has it all.
Oh.
Gypsy curses.
Let's go.
Links to Native American Indian tribes.
Love it.
A mobile phone black zone.
Mm-hmm.
An abandoned insane asylum.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention trees that bleed.
Wow.
A ghost lady that follows hikers through trails.
Fabulous.
Shadowy figures hiding in shrubbery.
Mm. Mm, it's like Little Dean.
It's like, what's his name? Ali McCoist? No. What did you say his name was? The footballer.
Yes. It is.
Stan Collymore.
Stan Collymore.
Yeah, Stan Collymore.
Just like Stan Collymore.
And strange apparitions above Native American Indian burial grounds.
Ooh.
Could it be that this forest is a paranormal hotspot, or is it just a case of folklore gone wild?
Folklore gone wild!
That's a TV show I want to see. So the forest lies just southwest of Escondido in San Marcos, and it's filled with beautiful hiking trails and campgrounds. It is as picturesque as its name would suggest. So I've got three bits of information around some of the folklore around Elfin Forest.
Oh, yes.
So the first is the White Witch or the White Lady of Elfin Forest. So many years ago, a family of three were wandering the woods. They stayed in the woods for days, but as it was a different time, it wasn't unheard of for individuals to be away from town for quite some time when exploring. So people didn't worry that they hadn't returned from their jaunt.
Right.
After more time passed and family and friends did start to worry, a lone figure turned up in town, covered in dirt and clothes torn, terror etched into their face.
Oh.
It was the wife. She informed the townspeople that her son and husband had been murdered. A group of men had attacked them in the woods and she had managed to flee. She did a Gina.
She is fucked off. She's like, see you then.
But her husband and son were apparently ripped to shreds.
Oh no.
The townspeople took care of her, and as the legend goes, the fear etched into her face turned into cold, hard rage.
Oh my God.
She spent her time with strange books, devouring the peculiar language depicted in them. She would meet local Indian tribes, which would have been seen as strange at the time. The woman seemed to morph into a different person, and one day she exclaimed that she was ready.
Ready for what?
Of course, the townspeople had no idea what she was talking about, but they knew not to get in her way.
Oh, yeah. Don't get in my way, bitch.
I've been reading weird textbooks. She ventured back into the forest to take her revenge on those that killed her family and was never seen again.
Oh.
Alive.
Oh, no.
But as the years and decades passed, hikers and campers that came to the forest reported seeing a ghostly figure floating through the air. Of course, she was wearing white.
Of course.
Because it's always a woman in white.
Yeah.
At times she would
or
move.
Or black.
Yes.
There's never a woman in rainbow.
No, green, paisley. No.
Paisley. The woman in paisley.
A woman in chevron.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
Yeah. But like, yeah, why is it always white? Or is it just because, like, when you're in ghost form, it doesn't matter what you're wearing, it all gets bleached white?
I don't know.
If only there was someone we could ask. At times, she would move at impossible speeds, and at others, she would appear as motionless as a statue. People who encountered the witch would attempt to talk to her, but she never responded. She is seen along trails, even in broad daylight, and hikers have reported being touched on the shoulder as she floats past and through objects.
Ooh.
It's not known if she found those who hurt her family, but as the ghostly apparition continues, it might be likely that she is yet to have her vengeance.
Oh, she's searching for the ones.
So next we have the Gypsies of Harmony Grove. Mm. I mean, all of these places.
Harmony Grove.
Just sound amazing. So it's rumoured, like most folklore begins, that the area of Elfin Forest and Harmony Grove was inhabited by gypsies in the early 19th century. Living around the area of Elfin Forest in a place called Spooks Canyon, the gypsies kept...
Spooks Canyon?
I know, all the words.
Harmony Forest,
Harmony,
Spooks Canyon.
Harmony Grove, Spooks Canyon, Quest Haven.
Quest Haven.
I mean, it is just a paranormal dream. Paranormal dream. That's a song. That's a song for Epsilon Boots.
That is Paranormal Dreams. Love it.
Gypsies kept themselves to themselves, and it soon became legend that they had turned their hand to the dark arts, like seances and rituals that they held at a sacred rock labyrinth at the heart of the forest.
What? There's a rock labyrinth?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, this sounds like the best place ever.
I know, we need to go.
Yeah.
The gypsies told the townspeople that scores of Native American Indian children had been hastily buried upright in the hills that surrounded...
With their heads picking, eh?
I know. Spooks Canyon. The gypsies wanted to talk to the children, and talk with them they did.
Ooh.
A local spiritualist soon reported multiple sightings of packs of children running and playing in the early hours of the morning. They weren't the children of the townspeople or the local Native American Indian families, as they were dressed in traditional garb. It is rumoured that these ghost children still frequent the area, as mysterious footprints have been seen along a concrete pipe within the forest.
Mm.
Appearing to be dried paint, some claim that these are residual hauntings, or ectoplasm, if you will, of the ghost children. It is claimed that the gypsy residents also brought forth other spirits, specifically an English gentleman who wore a stovepipe hat and would swing a lantern as he traversed the area.
Mm, I like to do that.
With your stovepipe hat on.
With my stovepipe hat on. Traversing areas.
Yeah. Oh, there's Save traversing her area.
Love traversing my area.
The gypsies, as one what usually happens in these circumstances, eventually came into conflict with the nearby townspeople.
Oh no.
And were driven out by an angry mob, several of them being killed.
Did they have pitchforks?
Angry torches, mob. Pitchforks, yeah. Rakes.
Rakes.
Those that managed to escape enacted one final and terrible ritual. They cursed all of Elfin Forest.
No!
Rousing their spirit friends to take vengeance against the townspeople that drove them from their land. The final piece of this legend is that the townspeople weren't successful in their extradition of the gypsies. One remained and is still there to this day.
What?
Visitors to the forest sometimes feel a chill, which is said to be the mark of the gypsy that remained. The story claims that should the bearer of the mark enter the forest again, they will never be allowed to leave.
Ooh.
The gypsy witch will ride up on a stallion, turn her gaze upon the visitor, who will simply die on the spot.
Oh, no!
Very Medusa-esque.
I'm not going, just in case it's me.
It is said that most of the ghost legends are linked to the gypsy witch that stayed behind.
Oh.
And that she is her leader. Is her leader?
Oh.
She is their leader.
Oh, right.
As locals tell it, if you reach the green planked tree swing after 9 p.m, you may get a chance at spotting the black cloaked gypsy witch.
The green planked tree swing.
After 9 p.m.
Wow.
You might get a glimpse of the black cloaked gypsy witch. Just don't let her see you.
Mm-hmm.
Strangely, it is said that the area that was once the gypsy community is still filled with a group of occultists and paranormalists. They live in the woods and love to educate hikers and ghost hunters on the supernatural residents and local legends of Elfin Forest.
Mm.
And finally, we have the White Owl of Questhaven.
Oh, yes.
The area known as Questhaven was once the place where the insane asylum was situated.
Oh.
Reportedly a magnet for paranormal activity, the area is home to a mass of ghosts, spirits and poltergeists, not to mention a troop of bizarrely aggressive animals.
Oh no.
Maybe you should just stay out of their habitat, humans.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they're pissed off.
I think so. Was it an aggressive owl?
Travelling through the area is said to be rather dangerous.
Oh.
But one story of Questhaven in particular caught my eye, and that's the legend of an enormous white owl.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah. Said to be 10 feet tall.
And very wise.
And very wise. The owl glides through the night sky of the forest completely silent on its giant wings.
Oh, they do.
Mm-hmm. Silent assassins.
Yeah.
From above.
From up above.
It preys on people who enter the forest. If the visitors are in their car, the giant owl will land on top of the roof and, using its enormous talons, will cut the roof open like a tin can before plucking the car's occupants out and spiriting them away to their death.
Wow.
Yeah. The giant owl...
Are there records of that happening to people?
I couldn't find any.
Okay.
So it might just be folklore.
Oh.
Like, because if it did happen, you would probably see a picture of, like, a tin canned
car.
Yeah. And I couldn't spot any. But bearing in mind, I did the research for this episode in 2 hours, so I didn't deep dive.
Okay.
The giant owl sounds very similar.
Similar.
The giant owl sounds very similar to an African cryptid known as the Kikiyaon.
The what?
The Kikiyaon.
Kikiyaon.
A cryptid that resembles a large owl that is said to prey on humans, attacking them with its huge beak and raking talons.
Loving the big owl cryptids.
Yeah, I want to do a big owl cryptid episode.
Yeah, big owls.
Big owls of the world.
Yes.
According to local legend, many do not speak of the owl in fear of repercussion, and that's what I found when trying to locate specific stories.
Oh.
It wasn't that I only spent 2 hours on research.
Wasn't it?
It was that people don't speak of the owl's deeds.
No one speaks of the owl or their deeds.
So I hope we haven't enraged it.
I hope so too, because I've got a lot of owls that live outside my bedroom window.
Well, maybe they've got like some international communication device.
Yeah, they're going to be fucking furious tonight.
They're going to be pecking on that window.
If they're awake, like waking me up.
You know.
I'm going to ring you and be like, listen to this. And they'll be like, ree, 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 ree. That's what they do, like pretty much all night.
I heard one the other day, actually, down the village.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
So when it comes to the stories of the insane asylum, these are actually not founded. So it wasn't actually an insane asylum.
Oh.
It appears that the derelict building being referred to in folklore and legend was in fact a non-denominational religious retreat and never a hospital of any kind.
Oh.
And what about the bleeding trees?
Yes.
The bleeding trees.
Those bleeding trees.
Well, upon research, it just seems that they exist in the forest.
Oh.
Dragon's blood and bloodwood trees are considered bleeding trees due to the red sap liquid inside their trunks.
Oh.
So perhaps some are planted in the area. Folklore and ghostly tales are rife in the Elfin Forest, and though they may all be just stories, I find myself enthralled by the tales of this mysterious place.
Oh, I love it!
Yeah, and that's it.
Oh, lovely!
Oh, and for my story, I had help from cntraveller.com, atlasobscura.com, backpackverse.com, patch.com, cryptidzfandom.com, sandiegohaunted.com, paranormalistics.blogs.com, hunker.com, and Reddit.
Well done.
Yeah.
That was fabulous.
Thank you. Our little adventure. And there are so many
haunted forests. I know. I feel like maybe I should have gone a little bit more upbeat with my haunted forest.
I mean, it was...
That was intense.
It was intense.
Yeah.
But we've kind of... I feel like... we've covered all bases in this podcast episode.
We've hit
true crime,
yeah.
Cryptids, ghosts, black eyed kids.
Yeah. Major big owls.
Curses.
Yeah. Witches.
Witches. So yeah, we've done it all. Spooky. Yeah.
I'm definitely glad I went first with my diner story.
Yeah, we're ending on a high.
We are totally ending on a high.
Fabulous. Oh, anyway, listeners, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast and you want to help it grow, then tell a friend about Not For The Dinner Table. And you must be doing that based on the listening figures that we're seeing. So keep up the good work. Follow us on our social media platforms on Twitter at...
NFTDT.
On Instagram at
not_for_the_dinner_table,
on Facebook
at not for the dinner table,
and TikTok
at NFTDT.
Yes,
yes.
You can go and like our two TikToks.
There will be more.
There will be.
For Smoke Machine.
We need to do Smoke Machine TikToks. Yeah. You can email us at notforthedinnertable@gmail.com, where you can send over your listener stories. They can be your ghostly encounters, cryptid scenes.
We've not had listener stories for ages. I know.
So send some in, please,
yes,
listeners.
Please.
We know you're out there. You must have some stories to tell, so send them over.
Please, please, please.
Or you can send us questions or your version of the Not For The Dinner Table news jingle.
Or the medieval true crime.
Or medieval true crime. Or conspiracy fondue.
Conspiracy fondue.
Yeah, because we're going to be doing that soon, aren't we?
Yes.
Leave a review wherever you found the podcast if you've got a bit of time, especially on Apple Podcasts. If you use that platform, 5 stars would be very much appreciated.
Yes.
You can
no
listen.
Less.
No less.
No more.
Yes.
Just 5.
If you don't want to leave a 5-star review, just don't leave one. You can listen to Not For The Dinner Table on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find podcasts. And I see that some of our friends are on Amazon Music now, so we'll have to just check to see whether we are on that platform as well. The podcast is written and produced by...
me!
And me. Our logo was created by Kaylee, and you can see more of her work on Instagram at @kcreatesdesign. And our music is by the amazing Chris Scott. And remember, everyone is welcome at our dinner table. Except that bastard. What's his name?
Raymond Leslie Morris.
What a dick. Fuck off. He can fucking do one. Don't want it. Don't need it. Don't like it. Can't have it.
Nasty man.
Bastard.
Cheers, Dave.
Yeah, cheers to us, not to that fucker.
Cheers to us, yeah. He was a fucking disgusting bastard.
Vile. Bye!
Bye! Oh, dear. Next time I'm sticking with the Forest of Dean.
Not for the Dinner Table is part of Britpod Scene, an independent network of uniquely British podcasts that's always growing. Check out BritpodScene.com or follow Britpod Scene on Twitter to find out more.